From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. On the show today, the story of our times with a lot of help from you listeners. Thank you there in Radioland. The story, the cost of living, and especially driving.
Here is news out today. ExxonMobil profits for the first quarter of this year, the first 3 months, soar 17%. Exxon Vice President Henry Hubbell spoke at a conference call earlier today.
ExxonMobil's first quarter 2008 normalized earnings and net income were $10.9 billion, an increase of $1.6 billion from the first quarter of 2007.
Isn't that terrific? But here's the other side. Exxon's stock actually dropped because stock analysts were expecting them to make even more money.
Well, gas is certainly costing us all more. On average, $60 now to fill up a regular car. And yesterday we asked you for some tips on how to save gas.
And we got a lot of response, dozens of suggestions. So in a moment, we're going to go to Consumer Reports to hear from an expert.
And let's start, though, with a few listeners who are taking gas and cash conservation seriously.
Providence, Rhode Island now, and Siobhan Ross, who works at Providence College, is it? And you get there from home, how?
I ride a motor scooter.
A motor scooter? What kind of mileage do you get on that, do you think?
It's about 90 miles per gallon.
And how far do you ride it every day?
About 5 miles in the morning and 5 in the evening.
So that's not so bad. What do you do when you need to get groceries?
I've actually taken it to the grocery store. I've taken it to the Home Depot. I have a basket in the front and the back, and I can carry stuff on my back.
Providence, Rhode Island is on the ocean, and it's in New England.
That's correct.
So winters there are not always so friendly, and it rains, you know, a fair amount.
I ride from August 1st to November 1st, and I am very good at bundling up, and I wear a lot of fleece.
Uh-oh, Siobhan Ross, the secret truth comes out. What happens after November 1st?
I have a very fuel-efficient car.
Aha. What kind of car is it?
I have a Honda Fit.
Okay. So you are absolutely committed to fuel-efficient vehicles, and the most fuel-efficient gets 90 miles to a gallon.
Yes.
Siobhan Ross, thank you.
Thank you very much.
In Seattle, Lisbeth Seebacher is about to buy a scooter. She's selling her gas-guzzling SUV. Hi, Lisbeth. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, how do you plan to get around once you sell this SUV? Are you going to take the scooter full-time?
I'm going to use the scooter when my children are with their dad, for the most part.
And when you have your children?
When I have my children and I need to get them around, I'm going to use a Zipcar.
And describe what that is.
You sign on, you become a member, and they have them parked throughout the city in different places. And we have one about 5 blocks away. And you reserve the car when you need it online.
So you can use it whenever you want it, and then you return it when you're done.
Correct. Exactly. Well,
so this is a big decision. You're getting rid of your SUV. What made you decide to do this?
Oh, several things. Cost. I want to bring the cost of my monthly cost of transport down. And it's kind of my way, you know, I have one of my children is in third grade, and she's discussing greenhouse gases and global warming, and it's one way that I can show, well, I'm doing my part. I'm reducing emissions. I'm reducing demand. And it's also a good way to kind of stick it to the oil companies if we can all get together and reduce demand.
Okay. Happy driving. I mean, happy scooting.
Scooting, yes.
Okay, here's another. This is an email from William Washington. He didn't say where he's from, but he did say he's 62 years old. He walks to work every day, and it's 8 miles each way. He started doing this about a year ago, and his health has improved.
And listener Mike Ritter says he bought a smaller car, drives the speed limit, and keeps his tires fully inflated.
Brent Nicholas in Denver, Colorado, is a software developer and a weekend DJ. Brent, what are you driving?
Subaru Forester.
And how do you drive it to get all the miles you can out of it?
My friends make fun of me, but sometimes I drive like a grandma, but, you know, sometimes I can't, you know, help it, and I drive a little bit like a maniac. But, you know, really what I did to the thing was reduce all the air friction I could. I fold in the Dumbo side mirrors that we've got. I took off the roof racks, put air filter in it, put some BK-44 in to clean up the injectors. So basically anything I can do with a Subaru Forester to increase the efficiency.
And have you been able to measure, because this is a pretty fuel-efficient vehicle anyway, but have you been able to measure increased efficiencies?
Not, you know, scientifically, if you would say, or, you know, but what we did recently, we drove to Phoenix and back, and right before we did that, you know, that's when I put in the air filter, that's when I put in the injector cleaner, took off the roof racks and things like that, and I really did notice a big difference, you know, doing all highway driving, so you could really see it was a very controlled environment to do that. So, yeah, I did notice quite a big difference.
Taking the roof rack off, that's a lot of work, isn't it?
No, you just need a little Allen wrench, and, you know, it was simple as that. But you know what really gets me, though? People in Colorado who drive around with their ski racks year-round, and then they complain about gas prices. So that's kind of what prompted me. I was like, you know, hey, maybe I'll take these things off. They're not big, but, you know, any little bit helps.
Brent Nicholas in Denver, Colorado. Brent, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
In Florida, Joyce Southard consolidates errands, and she rides around with the windows down rather than running the air conditioning.
Zen driving is the answer for Laura Schumacher in San Diego. She's slowing down and remaining calm.
Thaddeus Owen from Hudsonville, Michigan, combines some old and new technologies to save money on gas. Hello, welcome to the program. How are you getting to work now?
We have a manufacturing facility that's about halfway between my house and work. My total commute is 20 miles to work, 20 miles back, and currently I'm driving 10 miles to our manufacturing site, getting out of the car, getting on my bike, and riding my bike the additional 10 miles to where I do work and then back.
When did you start doing that?
Well, I started doing that as soon as the weather was warm enough and as the gas prices started getting a lot higher. So it was really about a month ago now.
Do you ever say to yourself, gosh, I'd love to just stay in the car. It's kind of cold out. I don't want to get out and get on the bike.
Well, there are certainly days when I'm wearing my hat and gloves, and, you know, it's just so much nicer when the heat is on in the car. But really, I find that I get out of the car, I'm in the fresh air, I'm getting my exercise for the day, and I don't have to spend any additional time doing what I'm doing. Typically, I would drive to work and drive home and then get on the exercise bike for a half hour. Now I'm on my bike outdoors in the fresh air, and it actually doesn't take any time away from what I would normally do during my day.
So it all works out. And how much money are you saving?
Well, I'm saving about a gallon of gas a day, so 5 gallons a week, and that adds up to roughly 20 gallons a month. And so at, you know, close to $4 a gallon, we could be looking at about $60 to $80 a month.
Thaddeus Owen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thaddeus Owen from Hudsonville, Michigan. You know, Alex, we got so many letters on this.
Dozens and dozens of emails, and we just put out this call yesterday.
I know. So a lot of listeners have a lot of good ideas, and here are a few of them. Set cruise control 5 miles below the speed limit. One man wrote in saying he drafts behind semi-trucks, and that listener says it saves him 5 to 10 miles of gas per hour.
Yeah, but what does it cost in anxiety? Also, shift to neutral at a red light. And we wondered about some of these suggestions. Are they all good suggestions? Do they work? We've called John Linkoff. He's managing editor for autos at Consumer Reports. John, let's start with cruise control below the speed limit. Set it 5 miles below the speed limit. Does that work?
Well, anytime you go a little bit slower than the speed limit or a little slower than what the conventional pace of traffic is, you're going to save. What we found in our tests using a Toyota Camry as well as a Ford Explorer is that once you really break 55, 60 miles per hour, you're running up against aerodynamic drag and wind resistance, and it's really hurting your fuel economy. So 55, while it may be slow, pretty much is the sweet spot with aerodynamic drag.
Okay, so drive the speed limit. And what about this? A lot of people say that they shift to neutral when they go downhill or when they're approaching a red light. Does that work?
If you're shifting into neutral when you're at a red light or approaching the red light, that's fine. We don't really recommend people take the car out of gear going downhill simply because for the little incremental amount of gas you're going to save, you don't have control of the vehicle if something runs out in front of you. So those types of things, when you're traveling, keep it in gear. But one thing that we do recommend is that if you're in a really bad traffic jam and you're idling and you've been idling maybe 30 seconds at a time on average, turn the car off. At 30 seconds, you're going to start using a lot of fuel, so you can actually shut the car off. It doesn't use that much to shut it to turn it back on, so that's a really great way to save if you're in particularly bad bumper-to-bumper traffic.
How about fill your tank when it's cooler out because gas expands between cool and warm temperatures?
If you really, really want to fill it in the morning, you may save, you know, 0.1%. It's not a big thing. That's kind of a myth that we've seen through our testing procedures, as well as just the fact that we have fuel tanks and we fuel it throughout the day.
Okay, what about this? I've never heard this before, a water fuel conversion kit. And one of our listeners said that this can increase your miles per gallon by 50% or more.
I've never heard of the water fuel conversion system, but these devices that promise 25, 35, 50% gains, you're talking about companies like GM, Ford, Mercedes, multi-billion dollar companies that are trying to get the most fuel economy out of their cars for the CAFE and other regulations. If there was something really easy to do, they would have it. So if something could increase your fuel economy by, I think you said 50% or 50 miles per gallon, it would already be on cars. So it's one of those things, take that all with a grain of salt. It's sort of snake oily.
You must get this all the time, but give us your top five suggestions, just sensible things that actually do work.
There's a lot of really straightforward things people can do. The first is tires. Check your tire pressure. Once a week is really best, but if you have to do it the first Sunday of every month. You want to keep your tires to the pressure that the manufacturer of the vehicle says, because if you start dropping air in your tires, you can lose 2% of your mileage, which can add up. Also, when you go to Costco or Sam's Club or anything like that, and you get that 100-pound bag of dog food or rice because you're hoarding it, what you want to do is take that out of the car as soon as possible, bring it into your house or your apartment, and not carry that around. All that extra weight for stuff is just causing drag. And finally, keep your car maintained. Just keeping the car well maintained is going to make sure that it runs efficiently, fuel delivery is getting to the engine properly, and you're not going to have any real worries, particularly if you break down.
Here's one more suggestion. Park it.
Well, if we could all get to work, I would love to ride my bike to work, for example, but it's about 20 miles, and on those rainy days, I'm really an impediment on I-95 out here. But yeah, if you could park it and take mass transit, that's great. It would be really great to see opening of parking lots that, you know, are expanded and everyone can get their car there and not have to have waiting lists where, you know, you want to use mass transit, but you can't get there.
John Linkov, Managing Editor for Autos at Consumer Reports. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.